Welcome to Author Voices on Air and the stories behind the stories of today's literature and their authors. A presentation of Author Solutions and its publishers. Our host today connects with the writer to share the vision and inspiration behind their works. Insightful, informative, and always entertaining. Please welcome our host for this week's edition of Author Voices on Air.
Welcome to Author Voices on Air. I'm your host, Rick Bell. The next book is The Gospel of Four, which of the four Gospels into a single continuous narrative, explicated by the author's own commentary. And joining me now to give us an insight into this wonderful book is the author, Peter Jones. Welcome, Peter. Thank you for joining us today. Now, the first thing I'd like to know is a little of the history behind this book. Where and how did you come up with the idea with the book, and how did that idea evolve into the book that we're talking about today? How did it all begin for you?
Well, Rick, it started a long time ago, in 1983, to be honest. I was doing a personal study on the subject, and I thought other people would be interested in this as well. So I started to compile the four texts of the gospel together. And, that's basically how it started.
And when you wrote the book, did you have an intended readership in mind? Or to put it another way, who did you, in your own mind, write this book for and why?
Well, it was written basically for anybody who's interested in that subject. I've had to cover the theologians, lay people. It's basically written for anybody who's interested in the Gospels and religion.
Now, you mentioned there about lay people, and that brings me conveniently to my next question. Now, obviously, without giving too much away, because we don't want to do that, but to give our listeners a bit of a taster, the title of the book, as I mentioned during my introduction, is The Gospel of the Four. Tell us a little more of what the book is actually about.
Well, it's a synchronization of the four Gospels into one text, taking in consideration the Greek translations from which it was translated from. Based on the King James Version or the Authorized Version, as we call it. And it just makes everything a lot clearer, without keep turning back and forwards to each gospel all the time. Though one can do that, it's just a handy tool for having all the text together in one place.
And what do you hope that your readers will learn or take away from reading this book?
Well, basically, they will see that there's no actual contradictions in the texts when taking all the arguments into consideration. And that it's a fresh way of looking at the Gospels. And it will make, if when people read it, it should make it a lot clearer. The events, the years it was written in, the years it applies to, Jesus' 3.5-year ministry, things like that. It puts things in context, the miracles, how many miracles there were, and such things, such things like that.
Now, I'm guessing from what you're saying, you've mentioned a couple of times there how the purpose of the book is to make things clearer. So I'm guessing from what you're saying, and the fact you're saying that in your own opinion, previous writings failed to do that. So what made you decide that this book needed to be written? What was the intention behind it?
Well, I studied the Gospels since I was a teenager, before I was a teenager, really. And I just thought there was too many nebulous questions regarding how long Jesus' ministry lasted, how many miracles there actually were, and even how many parables, which I've highlighted in the back of the book for people to check. I've just basically tried to make things clearer from what there seems to be so many arguments about the Gospels, about points in the Gospels, and I just wanted to clarify for my own sense of being and for anybody else who's interested.
Could it be said that part of the purpose of this book is that quite often when ancient documents or ancient texts are translated, that quite a lot can be lost in those translations? And would you say that this book goes a long way of clearing up a lot of the mistranslations?
Yeah, it goes to many of the aspects. But as I say, the King James version is based on the original Greek. What we've got, and you know, people can check on the Greek. It's fully available on the internet, because of the language. I mean, the King James language at the time, with the thes and the thous. They've been translated to you and. The modern translation, but as far as the other parts go, we need to look at it in a modern language. And the thing is that there are other translations, more modern translations, and they've done a lot of work to alleviate this. But the book doesn't really matter what translation we choose to read. It covers that in the text itself. So the author really, most people read the King James version, but there's so many versions, and it doesn't matter which version you want to use. What I've done, it covers that as well, you say.
So how would you, if you were asked to describe this book or introduce this book, and in doing that, making it, letting us know what makes your book different, what makes it stand out for the crowd, how would you say you would do that? How would you introduce it in a way that really gets it across to our listeners that this book isn't just another biblical textbook?
Well, you see, many people read the Gospel separately and miss the amazing opportunity of seeing the four texts woven together, revealing all the events in their successive order as they actually unfold, and in the precise areas and years in which they actually took place. Also, having four separate Gospels is no longer an option unless checking. Of course, one is not trying to take away, the option of people checking each Gospel separately. But the thing is, it's not taken away from that, but it's made it simpler for the serious student to be able to check properly without keep having four pages open, unless they want to, of course. It just makes it a lot easier for people to understand, basically.
Now, when you were writing this book, we've talked about the fact that, at the beginning of the interview, the fact that you started writing this book a long time ago. So obviously it's been a labour of love, very much so. But tell us some of the challenges, as a first-time writer especially, that you had to overcome when you were writing this book. And on the flip side of that, when the book was finished, what was the biggest reward for you? So that's a double-sided question there.
Yeah, well, I started in 1983, and of course, in them days, we'd got an Amstrad computer, and I had to get the Greek and the four texts put in the computer separately, so that I could adjoin all the things together, and that's what took the time. Of course, explaining why. In between the text itself, that took time as well. But really the beauty in the end when it was when it came all together. I was just amazed, how clear it was and how useful a tool it could be. But of course, with anything, with any biblical thing, you get people who, you know, straight away try and criticize it. So I've had to cover those arguments. But even still, you know, you still get people criticize it, even if, you can see the truth before your eyes. The beauty of it was when it all came together and I finally saw it in print. That's all I can say about that.
You mentioned there that obviously no matter how good a job you do or anybody does of writing a book or anything else, that you'll always get people who criticise. What has been the general response from friends, from families, from readers so far about your book? What kind of feedback have you had so far?
Oh, I've had many positive words that people have said. I really haven't had any critical arguments on the media, put it like that. Especially on, because I'm basically on Facebook with the book and Twitter and LinkedIn. No, strange enough, I haven't had any bad reviews. The only bad review was when it first came out in 2003. It went in social media straight away, and I had some of the academics they're basically saying, "Oh, not another book on the Gospels," and saying that I'd opened a can of worms. They said that, "Oh, if he wants to be a scholar, why doesn't he wear the mantle of a scholar?" So, you know, that's the only criticism I've had is really from the media on through academia. But ordinary people, even though some of them are scholars, haven't criticised it at all, only praised it.
You mentioned there that you have had a response from so-called academics about your book. But I do think, to be honest, on a positive note, that shows that the book in itself has grabbed attention of people, and in particular academics. And in fact, so much so that they have felt the need to, give you some sort of response about that. So that's a good thing. Now, you touched there on Facebook and Twitter. How can our listeners and new readers get in touch with some feedback and with a really to ask you any questions about the book? How can you do that?
Well, basically, they go through my name, Peter Boaz Jones. Obviously, if you put that in, it should come up straight away. I mention my book most, virtually every day on the media. And they can see for themselves on there. And obviously, if they want to comment or even, purchase the book, they can do so. That's about it, really.
Now, in closing, we've talked about this book in great detail, and you've very kindly told us how our listeners can get in touch with you. But has writing this book left you wanting more, wanting to write further books or maybe even short stories? What can you see yourself doing in the way of writing moving forward?
To be honest, I haven't had fantastic sales. It would seem that I'm still dealing with this book, I'm pretty busy with it all the time. I can't see myself writing anything else at the moment, unless somebody comes up with something and says, you know, like a publisher would say, could you write a book on this for us? You know, obviously I would, but at the moment, because, you know, there's not much, what I say, there's interest there, but it's like in the background. There's nothing sort of, you know, sticking out in the sense of everybody wants to buy the book. I mean, I didn't write the book for, you know, for a monetary reward. Though, you know, it comes into it. You know, I wrote it really for people who might be interested in that subject to make it clearer. So it's put me off in one way of writing another book. But, you know, one never knows.
Well, I mean, you've had a response, as you mentioned earlier, and these things do take time, and I'm sure with time that you will see an increase in the popularity of this book. And I hope you do get inspired to write something in the future, because this is a wonderful book, and I feel there's a lot more for you to say, not just in this topic, but as an author in general. So, you know, thank you for that.
Yes, that could be, Rick. Thank you. That could well be.
Thank you. The Gospel of Four is published by Author House and is available direct from the publisher at authorhouse.com/bookstore and all good bookstockers. And I would like to once again thank my guest today, the author of this book, Peter Jones. And we wish you every success with this book. And we do hope that you continue writing in the future. Many thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much.
This is Rick Bell for Talkin' 8 Radio 2.0. Thank you for listening.
Join us again as we explore the passion and inspiration behind the works of today's authors right here on Author Voices on Air.